We read sacred scripture this morning from Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Text for our sermon this morning is verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, how often do you stop to think about the brevity of life? How often do you consider the fact that our life on this earth is so short and quickly comes to an end? And then how often does that influence the way in which you use the time that you have? What kinds of things become priorities then in your life? Time is a precious gift of God to us. We can look back on the year that has passed and give thanks to God for the time that He's given to us, for the year, for the months in every day, and even every breath in our lungs. We know that the time that we have on this earth is limited by God. God from eternity has set the exact moment of our birth. And God alone knows the precise moment of our death, and every moment in between is numbered by God. And that number is short. It's brief. And the moments of our life quickly pass away. This life is but a breath. It's a sigh and it's quickly over. The way in which we use then the time that God has given to us reveals what is a priority in our life. with the limited amount of time that I have, I'm going to use it on those things that are meaningful to me, things that are a priority in my life. The occasion of the beginning of a new year is a good opportunity for us to pause and to reflect upon this. It's a good opportunity to examine ourselves and to see in our own lives what is a priority for us. Another year has passed, and we look back at the year 2017, and it seems to have flown by. It seems like not too long ago we were standing right here at the beginning of the year 2017. Now already that year is gone and passed. And we stand at the beginning of the year 2018, and we look ahead and we know that the time will continue to rush on with all of the activities and the circumstances that God has ordained. But as this year begins, we pause. Stop for a moment and reflect upon the brevity of life, the way in which we fill the days and the moments of our lives. We're reminded from the Word of God of the importance of numbering our days, so that our hearts are applied unto wisdom. That was the prayer that Moses made thousands of years ago. As far as we know, this is the only psalm that was written by Moses. We don't know exactly when Moses wrote this psalm, but a safe guess would be that he wrote this during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Undoubtedly, during that time, it was impressed upon Moses and the people of Israel the brevity of life. It was during those 40 years of wandering that an entire generation of Israelites died and perished in the wilderness, their bodies buried in the sands of the desert. And as Moses sees this whole generation wiped out, makes a mark upon him, it leaves an influence upon him, impressed upon his soul is the brevity, the shortness of life. And so he prays to God and prays on behalf of the church of all ages, God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to apply our hearts to wisdom's ways. Call your attention to this text under the theme, numbering our days. Notice, first of all, numbered days. Secondly, wisdom's ways. And then thirdly, believer praise. Numbering our days. Numbered days, wisdom's ways, believer praise. God teaches us to pray here for the grace to number our days. What does that mean? What does it mean to number our days? Obviously, it does not mean simply that God would teach us to count how old we are. It doesn't mean something so simple as that. That's something that even the small little children are able to do. You ask a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old how old they are, and they can put up the fingers 2 years old or 3 years old. Children have a keen sense of when their birthday is and how old they are. You ask them how old they are and they'll say, not just 5, for example, but they're 5 and a half. They know precisely how old they are. We're not praying to God here for something so simple as that. Neither is it the case that we're praying that God would reveal to us how much time we have yet in the future. How many more years, how many more months and days and seconds we have yet to live. Something that's known only to God, and that's not something that God reveals to us. What we're praying for here, when we pray for the numbering of our days, is that we would remember how short life is, that we would live in the consciousness that our days are numbered. And whatever that number is for us, whether in comparison to others that number is great or that number is very short, to know that our days are numbered and that the number of our days is brief and fleeting. And that's something that is emphasized throughout Psalm 90. One of the ways that that's emphasized is by comparing us and the brevity of our life to God and the truth that God is eternal. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. God is eternal, and that means that God is above and God is outside of time. Time is a creature made by God. It's subject to Him. God is in control of time and everything that happens in time. But God Himself is not affected by the changing of time. It doesn't change God. God is above, God is outside of time. The past, the present, and the future, from our point of view, are all the same to God. It's not as if, like us, God looks back in the past and sees all kinds of missed opportunities. And it's not as if God, like us, looks to the future with sinful worry and anxiety because He doesn't know what's going to happen. It's not as if God is ever late, behind schedule, hassled and harried. God is eternal. And the fact that God is eternal reminds us that we are not God. We are not eternal. But in comparison to the eternal God, our life is really nothing. Our life is so short, so fleeting. And that comes out here as well. Verses 5 and 6, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Verses 9 and 10, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We are such weak and frail creatures. We're born, our life quickly passes, and we live maybe 70, and if strength is great, 80 years. And then we return to the dust. Our life is like a breath and a sigh which is quickly passed. Our life is like a flower of the field and the grass of the field that grows and flourishes in the morning, and by the afternoon heat it's burned and withered, it's cut down and it's gone. God is eternal. We are creatures so bound by time. To number our days means that we live in the consciousness of that. In the consciousness that this life will not go on and on forever. We're not God. And that every moment that passes adds another moment to the past and takes away from the future, so that the moments of the past continue to grow and grow while the moments of the future shrink and become less and less. To number our days means we live in the consciousness that God will soon come to take me in death. Now, it doesn't mean we live with this morbid fixation on death, with a worry and anxiety about when we're going to die or when a loved one is going to die. does mean we live in the consciousness that this life is brief and God will come for us soon in death. We don't know the moment of our death. God may come for you or for me today. On our way home from church this morning, God may call one of us home to Him. God may come for us later this week. God may come for us this year. The year 2018 may be the very last year that we live here on this earth. And that's not just a word to the elderly members of the congregation, those who've reached their 70 or their 80. It's true for every one of us. It's true for children. That's true for the young people. That's true for those in middle age. Even though the passage speaks of the 70 or the 80 years, God doesn't promise that to us. God may come for us in death in our youth, in middle age. Life for every one of us is brief. It's fleeting. To number our days means we live in the consciousness of that, as well as the consciousness that there is life for us after this life. It's living in the consciousness of everlasting life. This life is brief, but there is a life that awaits us after death. For the unbeliever, what awaits him is everlasting death, condemnation and judgment in hell. But what awaits the child of God after this brief life is unending life, a life that goes on and on into everlasting life, heavenly glory with God. To number our days means we live in the consciousness the days of this life are numbered and they're short. And there awaits us everlasting life in heaven. We're not always mindful of that as we ought to be, though. We don't live every moment in the consciousness that this life is short. And yet there are times where God so impresses that upon our souls. God, in a sense, wakes us up to the reality that tomorrow is never certain for us. Might be something we would say catastrophic, monumental. When, for example, we hear the diagnosis of the doctor, cancer, and it's so impressed upon our soul, this life is short. But God may use all kinds of other more ordinary things in life to impress upon us the brevity of our time here. Death of loved ones, something at some point that every one of us experiences. God uses that to show to us the brevity of life, whether that be an aged saint that's reached the 70, the 80, the 90 years of life on this earth, whether that be a husband, a father in middle age, a young child, even a little baby taken directly from the womb. And as we come and we stand in the funeral home and we look at the body in the casket, or we go to the cemetery and we see row after row of tombstones, God impresses upon us the fleeting nature of life here on this earth. Maybe it's something as ordinary as birthday. For example, you might be turning 30 years old and realize a third of my life is over already. Maybe you turn 40 and you realize half of my life is gone already. Or you turn 60, you turn 70, you turn 80 and you realize God can come for me at any moment now. Maybe it's something as ordinary as children and grandchildren. God gives to us children, and the days seem very long, and yet the years fly by. A year has passed, and maybe we look back at the pictures from the year before and we realize, look how much our children have changed. Look how much they've grown, how much they've matured, and very soon they're teenagers. They're starting to date. They get married. They move out of the house. They're having their own children. And now I'm a grandfather or a grandmother. We see the children grow and the grandchildren grow, and we realize how quickly life passes by. God uses all of those things to impress upon us the fleeting nature of life, and we have an opportunity to reflect upon that today as well. It's helpful that we gather in worship on an old year's night to look back on the year that's passed and how quickly it's flown by. Look back on what's happened in the church with the births and the deaths, the joys and the sorrows, the successes and the failures. Look at our own personal life and the life of our family. As we stand now at the beginning of a new year and gather in God's house to hear His Word, and we look at all that may come in the future with all that's unknown and uncertain, reminded how quickly life passes. You live in the consciousness of that, and do I. You number your days. Is it impressed upon you how short this life is, and how quickly it passes? God comes for us in death. Beloved, we must number our days, live in the consciousness that those days are numbered by God. But the purpose is not just to engage in that exercise itself. There's a goal that we have in mind with the numbering of our days. And the reason why we number our days is explained in the rest of our text. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Numbering of our days, remembering that life is brief, is not just the point in and of itself, but the point is numbering our days that we might then apply our hearts unto wisdom. To understand what wisdom is, we have to look to the one who in himself is wisdom, God himself. We read in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God's wisdom refers to the fact that God uses the best means to accomplish the highest purposes. His wisdom means that He uses the best means. He has the perfect plan that leads to the highest and the greatest purposes. And God's greatest purpose in all things is the glory of His own name. God is directing all things perfectly according to His eternal plan and decree to bring glory and honor to Himself. And wisdom for us means the same thing, that we employ the means of this life and all things in our life with that goal in mind, the highest goal being the glory of our God. Wisdom is intensely practical. Person may have a mind that's filled with all kinds of facts and information, have a brilliant mind, and yet that doesn't necessarily mean that they're wise. Wisdom is taking that knowledge, taking that understanding that we have, but applying that practically to the the way in which we live. Our understanding of God and His greatness and His glory, the fact that God is eternal and I am limited. Applying that knowledge and understanding to the way in which I live. That's wisdom. We're praying here that we might have wisdom applied to our hearts. We need to be wise in heart, because the heart, in a sense, is the naked you. It's who we truly are. We can easily put on a show. We can do things and say things because we know other people are watching or they'll hear what we say and we want to make a good impression upon them. But in our heart, we're someone else. We're someone different in secret. Heart reveals who we truly are. And the heart directs and controls all the rest of our life. Eventually, what's found in our heart will come to expression in our actions and our words, our desires and our thoughts. We want to be wise in heart. We want our heart to be governed and characterized by wisdom so that the whole of our life, then all our words and actions and so on, characterized by wisdom as well. What's the connection now between numbering our days and having our hearts applied to wisdom? See that connection, maybe a couple of illustrations will help. First of all, to the children and the young people, coming to the end of a break from school, and in this coming week, God willing, you'll return to the work there. Perhaps your teacher gives to you an assignment that's due now in a couple of months. Maybe they assign you a book report. You have to read a book, you have to write a report on that book. Or there's some big project that you have to put together to present to the class. When the teacher first gives that assignment, you're not going to think about it very much, very likely. It's not something that consumes your time, consumes your thought. You realize it's weeks, it's months down the road. I don't have to worry about it yet. But as the deadline gets closer and closer and closer, it becomes something that you think about all the time. I've got to read this book. I've got to write this report. I've got to put together the project. There's a deadline that's coming, and I have to be ready for that. Different illustration, maybe, for the men who go off to work every day. In your job, maybe you have a report that you have to file with your boss. Or there's a production quota that you have to meet by a certain time. And as that deadline gets closer and closer, it's something that you think about more and more. It's something that you work hard at to have accomplished on time. The looming deadline gives a certain focus, a certain drive, doing the work that you're called to do. I'll take that and apply that here to our lives. The fact that our days are numbered, that there's a day that's coming very soon for us when God will take us in death, means that we ought to be applying our hearts then to wisdom. In the brief time that we have here on this earth, our time must be spent living our life to the glory of God. The fact that our life is so brief ought to provide clarity in our life. It ought to clarify what is and what ought to be a priority in my life. These are the things that are priorities, but what ought to be the priorities in my life? Knowing our days are numbered ought to provide encouragement and motivation in the brief time that I have, whether that's 8 more days or 8 more decades, still brief. We ought to be encouraged and motivated to apply our hearts to wisdom, to pursue, to be engaged in those things that have real, lasting value. To apply our hearts to wisdom means that our life is a life that's seeking the glory of our God. It's a life lived in the knowledge of God and fellowship and communion with Him who is wisdom. Living a life that's characterized by wisdom means living in knowledge of Christ as our Savior. Living by faith in Him and in the comfort of His cross and the forgiveness of sins. And it's a life lived out of gratitude for that salvation then. It's a life that's devoted to things of real, lasting value. Even though our life on this earth will come to an end, there's work in which we are engaged that has lasting value, value into everlasting life. That idea comes out at the end of Psalm 90 in verse 17, where Moses prays, "And establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." There is a work performed by the child of God that's established by God, established with even lasting value. It's a life lived out of gratitude for salvation, to the glory of God. That's being involved in having a zeal for the preaching of the gospel and the spread of the gospel to the gathering in of God's elect church. That's being involved and invested in the congregation to which we belong, serving other members of the church of Christ. The important work of instructing our covenant children, rearing them in the fear of the Lord. That's the work that we want established. And knowing that our time is short, that's the work in which we want to be engaged. We have to pause and examine ourselves in this regard. We have to shine the light of God's Word into our own hearts, into our own lives. We have to do a careful examination of ourselves. What is a priority in our life? It's not something we always want to do. It can be painful. It can prick our conscience. We're afraid of what we might actually find there. What are the priorities in our lives? What are the kinds of things we want to devote our time and our energy and our attention to? It's possible, even for a child of God, that knowing the brevity of life, we don't apply our hearts to wisdom, but we apply our hearts to folly. We live in some sin, falling again and again into some temptation. Or our attitude is one of laziness. Knowing that my time is short, the attitude can be, what does it matter anyway? Why not enjoy the time that I have here on this earth? Why not enjoy the pleasures that the world has to offer? And we simply coast by with a lazy, careless attitude. What do we spend our time on? Maybe it's not on something that's sinful. Maybe we spend so much time on things that really have no lasting value. Things that aren't wrong in themselves, but really are meaningless and pointless, and when we come to the end of our life, we're not going to say, "Oh, I wish I'd invested more time in those kinds of things." How much time is spent in front of the TV? How much time is spent looking at our phone? How much time is spent on social media? How much time are we spending in those things that have lasting value? How much time is invested into the congregation, into serving others in the church? What kind of zeal do we express for the spread of the gospel and the gathering of the church? How much time do we invest in the lives of our children, teaching and instructing them in the fear of the Lord? Beloved, life is so short, it's quickly gone. Maybe for some of us, we have 8 decades that remain. Maybe for some of us, there's only 8 months or 8 days that are left. However much time is left, the time is short. And if you knew that, for example, God was going to come for you tomorrow, what would that mean for today? How would you live? What kinds of things would you do? What kinds of petty annoyances and frustrations would you put away? What kinds of projects and different activities would you realize really aren't that important? What kinds of relationships would you realize are important? Kinds of activities would you realize do have meaning? Number our days so that our hearts are applied to wisdom. The time that we have here on this earth, our desire is that our life be characterized by wisdom in all of our life, seeking the honor and the praise of our God. Notice, though, that the passage is not a command. The Word of God does not come to us here and say, number your days, apply your heart to wisdom. Oh, there may be a place for that. But the form of the text here is a prayer. Moses leads the Church of Jesus Christ in prayer and says, God, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. This is a prayer. It's a petition to God. It's a prayer that arises out of the recognition that we can't do this. We don't do this. We stand dependent upon the grace of God to number our days, and we're dependent entirely upon God's grace to have our hearts applied to wisdom. Numbering one's days and applying the heart to wisdom is impossible for the natural man. Man and woman of this world doesn't number his days. He might be a brilliant mathematician, be able to add up all kinds of sums and figures and do deep calculus. He may be a scientist who's able to show what is the distance between the earth and the sun, the solar system, and the next solar system, this galaxy and the next galaxy. He may be able to measure the continents. He may be able to find what is the deepest depth of the ocean and add up all of these numbers. But he can't do this mathematical equation. Cannot and does not number his days. He lives as if this life will go on and on forever. He lives in the hope that somehow death can be thwarted, death can be overcome. And he certainly doesn't apply his heart to wisdom. He may be resigned to the fact there's going to be nothing that stops the onslaught of death. So live it up. Enjoy what the world has to offer. Eat, drink, be merry, let's party. Because tomorrow we die. His heart is not applied to wisdom. Same can be true for us. We don't always live in the consciousness of the brevity of life. I think every one of us this morning can admit we don't always number our days. We don't always have our hearts applied to wisdom. At times our hearts are applied to folly, to things that are sinful. We need to be awoken, shaken by the Word of God. We're walking in sin. God may come for us tomorrow. Are we ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Be the case as children of God that so easily our time and attention is devoted to things of little value rather than things of lasting value and importance. And so we pray. We pray earnestly, we pray regularly. God, teach me to count my days. God, teach me to count those days so that my heart is applied to wisdom. The thing about prayer is that prayer, it doesn't change God. God is eternal. God is above and outside of time. Prayer changes us. So we take this petition on our lips and in sincerity of heart, cry out to God. God's answer to our prayers is that He changes us. He changes our perspective, our ideas, our mindset. So that we live in the consciousness that no one in the end escapes death. The medicine gives out, body wears out. The heart gives up eventually. Life has an end for us. But that's not something that terrifies us. We understand that death for us then is the passage into the everlasting life where the days have no end. The time that we have here on this earth, God works within us by His grace so that more and more our hearts are applied to wisdom. It's our prayer today. It's our prayer as we look back on a year that's past. God, teach us to number those days. Set our heart on wisdom. That's our prayer today as we look into the coming year, the year of our Lord 2018. God, teach us to number our days. God, apply by Thy grace our hearts to wisdom's ways. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, make us wise. Thou art the only wise God, whose ways and works are perfect, without sin, without mistake, but all things directed perfectly to the glory of Thy name. Give us a heart of wisdom. Make us, Father, to live our life here on this earth, however long that may be, to bring honor and praise to Thy name, to show thanks for the gracious salvation and forgiveness is ours in Jesus Christ. Watch over and care for us, Father, in this day. Watch over and bless us in the year that is to come. In Christ's name do we pray. Amen.